made priests unto God to picture how God's sons are made priests unto God by Christ. His sons were made priests because Christ's sons are made priests. That's what it pictured. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. But you see, Aaron's sons, like us who are God's priests, like you and me who've been made priests by Christ, we see here in Aaron's sons, they had to have some holy garments on before they could come into God's presence. And you and I have to have these holy garments on, these spiritual garments. Not carnal, temporal, physical garments. They're spiritual garments. Now, all who come to God by faith in Christ are themselves priests unto God, adorned with spiritual garments, which were made and put upon us by our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I who believe are priests unto God. We wear these spiritual garments, and this is all by Christ. The work he did for his people and the work he does in his people. Now, I've got four characteristics here of sinners who are made priests unto God. Four characteristics. We'll just look at these one by one. First of all, Christ's priests were chosen by God. They're chosen by God. We see here in verse 40, God says, "And for Aaron's sons thou shalt." It was God who chose who would be the high priest. God chose his son, the Lord Jesus, to be the high priest of his people. And it was God who chose who would be priests. God chose his people in Christ. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because from the foundation of the world, God elected you unto salvation, ordained you to eternal life, and that's the reason. It's by God's grace alone. Now, when we hear that, we should know this. Salvation is not by man's will. It's not by man's will. It's by God's will. Salvation is not carried out by man's will. It's carried out by God's will. Men and women are not saved because they will to be saved. That's not why. We're saved because from eternity, God willed us to be saved. That's the difference between the gospel of grace and the gospel of works. All who are truly born of God happily confess this. We happily confess that the only reason we believe is because God chose us. He chose us by his will. We sing, "'Tis not I that did choose thee, for, Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me." That's the difference. Now, secondly, each of Christ's priests is clothed with the same garments made by God through Christ fulfilling the law for us. We all have the very same garments. They're all made by God, and they're made through Christ fulfilling the law for us. Look at verse 40. "And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty." Now all the Lord's priests are clothed with the same garments. All Aaron's sons here had the same garments on. They all had the same garments on. Now be sure to get this. Please get this. I do not care what sin you see in your brethren. It does not matter what outward sin you and I see in one another. It does not matter. Listen to this. Not one believer can boast that we are more righteous or more holy than another. Not one. We have the same garments on. We have the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of Christ. Each one of his people, the same garments. So we can't make a boast. We can't use another's sins to exalt ourselves over one another. Because before God's where it matters, and before God, we have the same garments on. Same garments. Our garment, our righteousness, is Christ himself. And Christ himself put this garment upon us. He made it. He made it. Christ made this garment of righteousness through fulfilling the law for each of God's chosen people. He made this garment of righteousness by fulfilling the law for each of his chosen people. Notice here, it was God who made the garments through Moses. And that pictures, he pictures the law. Moses does. Verse 40, God said to Moses, "For Aaron's sons thou shalt make." I keep telling you that the law and Christ are not at odds. Christ came and through the law made us righteous. He fulfilled the law. He gave the law everything the law demanded. He made these garments through the law, just like God made these garments through Moses. God made our garments through Christ fulfilling the law. Our Savior was born of a woman. Why was Christ made flesh? Why was he made flesh? That he might be born under the law. That he might fulfill the law for his people and deliver us from it. That's why. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, to buy us out from under the law by giving the law the payment it demanded, to redeem us from under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. The Apostle Paul said this. He told the Galatians, he said, "If a man is circumcised, he's a debtor to keep the whole law of God." Well, in Luke 2:21, we read, "When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Our Lord Jesus Christ came to that temple on the 8th day, and he was circumcised. And that made him a debtor to keep the whole law of God for all his people. And brethren, he paid that debt in full. He gave the law everything it demanded, and we gave the law everything it demanded in him. You remember when he came to be baptized, and John didn't want to baptize him. He said, I need to be baptized of you. You want me to baptize you? And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. When Christ fulfilled all righteousness, we fulfilled all righteousness in him. When Christ was baptized in perfection that day by John, John was baptized in him in perfection. And the picture it pictured, when he went into the watery grave, John went into that grave. When he came out of that grave, John came out of that grave. That's what Christ meant when he said, "Thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." Christ did it, but we did it in him. We did it in him. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He took it, they were contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And those who profess to believe on him, right now, there's multitudes in this world that profess to believe on Christ, but at the same time, they believe they must keep the law of Moses or they cannot be saved. You know what the problem is with those people? Now get what I said. I didn't say they believe on Christ and they feel like they ought to keep the law. That's different. That's what we saw in Romans 14. men who they're in error, but they feel like for the Lord's sake they ought to observe certain days and eat certain things. They feel like they ought to. They're in error. But what I said is, when a man says he believes on Christ and says he must keep the law or he can't be saved. You must keep the law or you can't be saved. That was the difference in those Pharisees that came down. Brother Rob pointed this out last week. Those Pharisees came down and they said of those Gentile believers, they must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses or they can't be saved. That's when Paul said, no, no. What's the problem with a man like that? There's only one problem. Listen to me. He has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the problem. Where do you get that, Clay? Romans 10:3 says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But to one that hasn't submitted to Christ, one that hasn't believed on Christ, oh, he'll profess with his lips to trust Christ. But by his action of saying he must keep the law, he's showing he does not really believe Christ is all his righteousness. But we have the same garments made by Christ upon all of us. Perfect righteousness. Now thirdly, those made priests unto God do not put Christ's garments upon ourselves. We do not put Christ's garments on ourselves. They're put upon us by another. Now look here in verse 41. And thou shalt put them, these garments, thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Again, God did this through Moses, who pictures the law. The law says of Christ, he's made all these garments. The law justifies Christ and says, oh yes, he gave the law everything it demanded. These garments are his. And the law even says everybody for whom Christ did that work, everybody he justified, these garments must be put on them. You see that in the picture of God using Moses to put these garments on? The law that was our enemy, by Christ fulfilling it, is now our friend. Its justice says these garments must be put on everybody for whom Christ died because he perfected us forever. I'm not an enemy to God's law, and nothing ill against God's law. God's law is my friend. God's law now says I must be saved because Christ justified me. Isn't that a good thing? That's a good thing, brethren. Every priest had these garments put upon them by another. Now, due to our sin nature, we come into this world dead in trespasses and in sin. And like Adam, when Adam transgressed against God, we transgressed against God. And we became naked. We became sinners. So not only do we need Christ to work out a righteousness for us, we need Christ to come and create a new, holy, and righteous man within us and put these garments on us. Each priest had a coat put upon him. Each one of them had a coat put upon him. These coats were like the coat Christ wore. That coat that Christ wore was all of one piece, woven from top to bottom. No seams. No seams. And that coat represents the righteousness of Christ that is complete. Complete. And that righteousness is freely imputed to us. It is put upon us the moment God brings us to believe on Christ. That garment's put upon us. Psalm 132:9 says, "Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness." Be clothed. If I have been clothed, that's a very passive thing, isn't it? To be clothed. What does it mean? Well, verse 16 of that same psalm, God says, "I will also clothe her priests with salvation." I will clothe them with salvation. "Her saints shall shout aloud for joy." I asked Brother Art to sing this in the first song in the next hour. "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in thy great day, for who aught to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame." He puts these garments on us, and we're free. Free from the law, oh happy condition, Jesus is bled and there is remission. And so also by the hand of another, there was put upon every priest a girdle. A girdle. Girdles were these huge belts, and they wore these and they held up those long robes they had on. And they added strength and they added support like a girdle does. They added strength and support to the body when the men were engaged in labor or when they were traveling or when they were in battle. We're told our Lord Jesus Christ, as our great high priest, is girt about the paps with a golden girdle. In the new birth, when Christ is formed in us, Christ gives each of his redeemed his girdle of faithfulness, truth, and love. His faithfulness gives us strength, and his truth makes us walk in truth, and his love makes us love. So as we labor in the cause of Christ, as we travel through this land as pilgrims, and as we face every battle, Christ is our strength and our support, who keeps us faithful, keeps us walking in truth, and he keeps us loving one another. By the hand of another, each priest was given a bonnet. It's a turban. And this was to distinguish the priest from others for glory and beauty. Christ has created us anew by his work on the cross, and by creating a new man within those who are regenerated, and that he's created us anew in righteousness and true holiness. The only thing that's left to be done is to do the same for our body. But he's done this work at the cross and in our new spirit, and all that remains to be done is for our body. And by the Spirit, he continually renews us in knowledge after the image of him that created us. Now, get what God's saying there. The old man is after Adam. It's corrupt and deceitful. The new man, which after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. That new man within us was created. And it was created in the image of God. And it's righteous and holy. And he continually renews us in the image of God, after the image of him that created us. And so Christ, with his garments on, when we have his garments on, in him and with his garments on, we're glorious and beautiful in his eyes. And the Lord Jesus says to every regenerated believer, "Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Thou hast ravished my heart." It's because the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. How did we get this? Psalm 149:4 says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." That's why we're beautiful in his eyes. He's beautified us. He's done it. And all this work upon Aaron's sons was the work of another. It was typical of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 says, "Who anoints us, consecrates us, and sanctifies us." And God says, "That they may minister unto me in the priest's office." Until we've been anointed, that word simply means to smear. They take holy oil and they just put that holy oil all over the priest to be anointed. Until the Holy Spirit has anointed us and consecrated us and sanctified us, we cannot serve God. Our Lord told us there's going to be a multitude in the last day that are going to find out that all that they did in this life in the name of serving Christ was never serving Him at all. Why? Because He didn't know them. To know His people, to know His people is to know us intimately in the biblical sense of the word. It's to anoint us and consecrate us and sanctify us so we can serve Him. Once that's done, we can serve Him, but not before then. Not before then. But then we serve Him and we minister unto God in the priest's office. We're ministers of God. I'm not just the minister of God. You're ministers of God. What are we doing? We're ministering unto God, for God, in the priest's service. That's what we're doing. What are we doing? You also, as a holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. They're acceptable to God by Christ because you've been anointed and consecrated and sanctified so you can minister in the priest's office. Now lastly, by this work, Christ covers our nakedness so that not one of Christ's sons and daughters shall ever bear iniquity and die. He's covered our nakedness so that not one of us shall ever bear iniquity, nor shall we die. Look here in verse 42. "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness." These you're going to see here as I read this, these are basically like what we call today boxer briefs, is what they are. Like a man wears boxer briefs. It says, "From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him." So these garments covered their nakedness. And because their nakedness was covered, they bear not iniquity and they do not die. Now listen to Psalm 132:10. "For thy servant David's sake," what's he saying? For Christ's sake. For the one David pictured, for Christ's sake. "Turn not away the face of thine anointed." You who He's anointed, when you approach unto God through Christ our altar and come unto His holy place, for Christ's sake, for Christ's sake, He will not turn away your face from Him. He will not. It's not a question of what we are entitled to by our person and our work. No, it's what Christ is entitled to by His. He's entitled to have every saint with him for priestly service Godward. He's entitled to that. And by Christ's righteousness and holiness, the believer can never again be charged with iniquity. We can never again come before God's judgment seat and be charged with iniquity and die. Now, as I said, when Adam sinned, what happened? Immediately, he knew he was naked. He and his wife knew they were naked. And what do? They try to cover their nakedness. They try to cover their nakedness. They try to make fig leaves. Men use religion. Men use good works. Men use everything under the sun to try to cover their nakedness, and it's just fig leaves. What happened when God called to Adam? He hid himself. Why? He was covered. Why did he hide himself? He said, I knew I was naked. That's why. But you had on fig leaves, Adam. But God, I knew before you I was still naked. What's going to cover our nakedness? Only the garment Christ has made and put upon us. That's the only thing that can cover our nakedness. But with this covering, with this necessary covering, those priests could enter the holy place. They could enter, they could draw near to the altar. Aaron could go into the holiest of holies and not bear iniquity and not die. What's that teaching us? Hebrews 10:19 says this, having therefore, brethren, boldness, liberty, confidence, welcome to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, to enter into God's presence, to approach God now as priests by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, through his flesh, through him living and dying for us. And having Christ as our high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Preacher, you saying I draw near to holy God? I'm a sinner. I'm such a sinner. Now, my brethren don't know that. They don't even know the half of what kind of sinner I am. But God does. You mean I can draw near to God? Being robed in Christ's garments by his blood and having Christ as our high priest, you can draw near unto God. Listen, not only can you draw near, you can do so with a true heart, with a real heart, a true heart, a heart that's not hypocritical and not just going through the motions, a true heart that believes God. You can do it in full assurance of faith. Well, I don't see anything in me to have assurance with, because you're looking in the wrong direction. Assurance is not of you, it's of God. You won't have assurance till you look to him. But I can enter in full assurance of faith because my heart has been sprinkled from an evil conscience and my body's been washed with pure water. We're going to see next time, they're going to wash these priests. We're going to go into more detail and see how they sanctified and consecrated them next time. We've been washed, brethren. We've been washed in the blood of Christ. We've been washed in the water of the Word. We've been washed. And we have a new heart, a true heart. And through faith in Christ, we can draw near to holy God. And we can do so, God says, in boldness. We can do so in full assurance of faith. I think I told y'all this illustration one time before. When they were building that new World One Trade Center, before they opened it up, I read in the news there was some window cleaners that were cleaning the windows. And y'all have seen that thing, how tall it is. And they're up at the very top, and they're outside on a platform. I hope they got paid a lot of money to do that. You'd have to pay me a lot of money to do that. And they were up there doing that, and that chain slipped on that platform, and it fell down to one end. Well, they had on some harnesses strapped to that thing they're on. But I mean, you can imagine when that thing fell and they're dangling there on that thing, you can imagine that they're pretty nervous. And the firefighters came and they had to take the window out. And the first thing they did is they went out there and they wrapped a huge harness around both these men, and they had that harness in the building tied off to something. So no matter what happened, those men can't fall. They can't fall. Now, as far as subjectively in their hearts, they might not have had a lot of assurance. They might have been sitting there thinking, oh, until I get in that building, I'm not going to believe I'm safe. But you know what really could assure them that they were not going to fall had nothing to do with them. It was that cord holding them, that harness holding them so they couldn't fall. We have that in Christ, brethren. Whether you feel in yourself that you have assurance or not, you've got assurance. Your assurance is Christ who's holding you. I want you to have it in your heart and know He's not going to let His people go. You can enter into God's presence. Now, I want to show you one last thing. The last verse there, the last phrase there, tells us that this was a statute forever unto Aaron and his seed after him. That is, as long as that priesthood continued, this continued. This continued. Brethren, since Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, He has neither beginning of days nor ending of days. The Hebrew writer is telling us all through, those priests died. And they had to be a new priest. But Christ never dies. He's a priest like Melchizedek was, who has neither beginning of days nor ending of days. His priesthood is forever. And because His priesthood is forever, Christ and His seed, Christ and His people, Christ and those He's redeemed, Christ and those He has sanctified and made holy, those He's made priests, shall be covered. Their nakedness shall always be covered, and they'll never bear iniquity, and they'll never die for as long as Christ is our high priest. Forever. Forever. I don't know how many messages I preached out of Exodus 28, but it was quite a few. That's been a very edifying chapter, hadn't it? And we started out thinking all it was going to be was just a description of a bunch of garments. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this word. Thank You for showing us these pictures. Lord, be with Your people everywhere. Make Your gospel go forth in power today. Exalt Christ. Make this morning to be a time when all heaven and all Your people in earth are looking to Christ, and He's receiving all the glory. Lord, help us to be patient and forgive one another, and make us to be edifiers of one another. And help us now to worship. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.